This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket online at WTK.com. It's now time for the MGO Blog Roundtable, which is brought to you by Home Shore Lending. Home Shore Lending is a local company. You work directly with the owner, a Michigan man, Matt Demarest.
Hey, folks. We are live here inside the MDN studios. Now, I did something that was cruel. Cruel to you guys, the listeners. I teased that Craig Ross was going to be in studio. And he's not going to be.
I don't know how you can do that.
So and I apologize.
Mess with the people like that.
I apologize for getting you all amped up and excited about the return of Craig Ross. I found out as the fellas made it in studio that Craig, he had to shift his flight schedule around. And so he's on a flight right now. Yep. And therefore not able to be here in studio. So my apologies to all of you who are, you know, anxiously anticipating the return of Craig Ross.
I'm looking up Soviet Russia on Wikipedia right now, and I hope to have something for you in the next 15 minutes.
Trotsky.
That voice, the first voice was none other than Brian Cook from MGO Blog. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
And then the other voice you heard was Ed Feng from the Power Rank. Ed, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Good.
So, fellas, as brackets go, how's your Final Four looking?
I had UVA and Texas Tech, okay. But not the other two. I had the
Texas Tech. Nice.
All right. And what about you?
Yeah, I definitely had UVA. They were what we call the contrarian champ when you think about picking brackets. So if they win, a lot of people who follow my stuff are going to do pretty well. A lot of, three top seeds going down, if you can count Kentucky in that.
UVA is the only team I had.
Yeah,
he's the only team I had. So
Sam, real quick to interject, to get over the disappointment of Craig not being here for the listeners, how about this? Just heard from Michigan Matt, and in a little bit, we're going to give away a pair of tickets for today's opening day game in down in Detroit.
Wow, there you go.
Got to make up for Craig not being here somehow.
Michigan Matt stepping up to the plate, so that's a way to redeem ourselves for teasing you there a bit, but... As things adjusted, because when Michigan lost to Texas Tech, guys, I was like, man, that looks like the team. That looks like the team to me. I think the winner of the Texas Tech Michigan State game is gonna win the championship. I'm curious what you guys think.
Virginia's pretty good, and Auburn's been very hot from outside. So if they can continue that, I think it's a relatively balanced Final Four. I think any of the teams could win, really. It's not like last year.
You really feel that way about Auburn? You don't think?
I think Auburn is obviously kind of a little bit of an outsider, but given the way they've been playing over the last month or so, yeah, I think that they can maintain that level of shooting, then they've got a shot.
Well, yeah, and they made an interesting adjustment against Kentucky because they weren't getting the three-point looks that they got in the previous two games, but their point guard, Harper, was awesome. Kentucky's defense kind of broke down, and they were able to win that game. Virginia is the best team in this Final Four. Yes, they are the best team in this Final Four.
They might be the luckiest team in this Final Four.
Maybe, but they also they survived the Carson Edwards onslaught somehow. Like, I mean, how many other teams can have a guy just pulling up 5 feet? Or it was design.
No, it wasn't.
Maybe he
was not trying to make the free throw.
He was not trying to miss the free throw?
I mean, he was not trying to miss the – he was trying to make the free throw.
All right.
So,
no,
you don't get more lucky than that.
You need a little bit of luck.
It's pretty unfortunate to run up against that Carson Edwards.
Yeah.
Given the fact that
it's a great point.
We had seen Carson Edwards through the whole Big Ten season, and there were different versions of Carson Edwards.
It's interesting to talk to you guys. I mean, you guys seen him through Big Ten play, but like how does he project as an NBA guy now,
I had this conversation with Steve Clark the other day, and he said, well, what do you think Carson Edwards is going to do? I said, that guy has to go.
He had right.
Come back for what? He's not going to get taller. Ask me how I know that. it's not happening. He is that size.
Right.
And so
he looks like
this is the most efficient we've ever seen Carson Edwards be. You did it on the biggest stage against top competition. Dude, all you can do is go down from there.
Right.
Strike while the iron's hot. I think I compare him to a more explosive version, at least when it comes to vertical lift. Of if you watch any NBA, Ish Smith from the Pistons, you know, similar in stature, similar in speed and change of direction. And then Carson could probably get up a little. He certainly is a better shooter. And, you know, watching right. Ish Smith shows me there's a place for Carson Edwards in the league. Maybe not as a lead guy, as the number right. one point guard,
right.
but as a guy off the bench, Ish Smith like. I think Carson Edwards can do that, and I think you seize this moment. He had a brilliant tournament.
Yeah, and so he's showing you what you can do, and that's what people are thinking about right now. They're not thinking about the fact that he had like an 80 rating in
Big Ten play. Yeah.
Well, against the top of the Big Ten, so like against Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, those kind of teams, he was, and you want to leave now because that's also part of your game, is the fact that you're taking 30 shots and hitting four. Mm-hmm. So he is who he is, and I think it's time to go explore what that means in the context of the NBA.
Yeah, and I think this tournament has just shown how good Big Ten teams are on defense. I mean, just all the way around the tournament, you look at Ohio State pulling off the upset in the first round, someone actually slowing down Zion Williamson a little bit, enough for Michigan State to get that win in the Elite Eight. I mean, the Big Ten was excellent on defense, and that's part of why we saw, you know, a lot of these stars' numbers come down, whether it's Carson Edwards or Brazdeikis or Poole on Michigan. The defenses were really good.
You know, Tom Izzo, and I agree with Ira when he mentioned earlier this week on the heels of the Duke victory, said it's the best coaching job of Tom Izzo's career. I believe that. I agree with that. But, man, I don't know that I've seen a team – have injuries be as much of a fortuitous bounce as we've seen them be for Michigan State. I mean, both injuries have made them, in my opinion, tangibly better.
Especially the Ward one. They're a different team now.
Don't forget NBA defections after last year, too, Sam. Those made the team better.
Well, I think Izzo coaches a team like this better. You know, because he said this is not his most talented team.
And I mean, come on. That's like obvious, right?
And I think he coaches a team like this better.
Well, I mean, Brian came on the show and was like, they're better without Ward. And I was like, no, I completely disagree with you.
And I was completely wrong. And I think Craig said they're better without Langford. And at that time, I don't think that was the case. Now, as you've gotten deeper into the season, you've seen Aaron Henry really emerge with more time. And even Gabe Brown get a few minutes. I know, you know, Aaron's being out has something to do with that. But the emergence of those young wings, the way was made for that by injuries.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, Langford is a guy who's mostly a good at bad shots guy. So he's going to get to your 15-footers and pull up. He changed his shot profile a little bit this year. But really, he's been a jump shooter his entire career. And those guys are pretty fungible. You can replace those guys. So was he better than McQuaid at important parts of basketball games? He's a higher usage guy, but I would say not really. And then, I mean, they can't play Nick Ward anymore.
Right. Well, no, but so this is what I was going to say. I think I was wrong, not because Nick Ward's a bad player. I think he's a good player. But now you're bringing him off the bench, and you got a guy like Tillman, who I think can guard in the NBA now. That guy in the NBA, and he's going to be able to check a lot of the forwards in the league. And that makes a whole lot of difference on this Michigan State team.
Well, I mean, just go back to the weird guys game at Chrysler where everybody got in foul trouble. And Tillman's on the bench with two fouls.
I think that was at East Lansing, right? When Tillman sat for 8 minutes.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so who do they bring off the bench? For like 2 minutes. And then Kithier plays 7 minutes in the first half. And to go from a team that's like built around this like bulky dude in the post, and that's just what you do. And now Izzo just looks at Ward and is like, I can't put you on the floor. And that wasn't a choice he made.
You're talking about the game up there. Okay, so yeah. That was the Kithier. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So you're playing Kithier for seven minutes instead of Nick Ward when Tillman's out with foul trouble. And that says everything about what happened to them when Ward got injured.
Yeah, he's, as guys who should leave or stay, I wouldn't be surprised if he punched his bus ticket.
To Slovakia?
Somewhere.
But, I mean, you think he'll come back?
He'll be a bench guy. It'll be a Mitch.
Well,
guy
I mean, if he wants to get paid, but I think, like, you know, if you look at, I mean, he's got a decent shot too. So if he can develop a little bit more on offense,
he's shot like twice from three.
No, but not the three. But I mean, you look at how he shoots foul shots. Like he's not broken like some people shot, right? Man. So there's a lot of development on offense that he can still do beyond just his athleticism.
Well, I just remember what I think is the Big Ten tournament game where, man, they looked at it. It was you could see in the eyes of the Michigan players when Nick Ward was out there. They were like, yes, right. This guy is out here. This is great. And then when Xavier Tillman came back in the game, it was like, womp, womp, womp.
No, exactly. And you could see that in Zion Williamson's eyes, too. Like, when he got a switch on Goings late in the game, he was like, I'm going straight to the bucket.
Well, I mean, the thing about Duke is they had, three losses with Zion? And in the last minute of those losses, R.J. Barrett took nine shots and made none of them. Yep. And Zion Williams took one shot.
Yeah.
So there's a little...
Yeah, Zion's a team guy.
And RJ missed that free throw, man. It's like,
Well, I think there's a case to be made that Coach K had an awful, awful performance as a head coach in the tournament. Like, they're barely beating whoever they beat. Like, they don't look dominant at all. And a lot of it is the fact that, like, where are the empty site ISOs for Zion freaking Williamson? Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And you're surrounding this guy who's just an incredible NBA talent with nobody who can shoot even a little bit. Like, they were one of the worst shooting teams in the country. They were like 350th at shooting threes. And that's the easiest skill to just go get. You know, just find some guy.
Go find a Steve Kerr,
They have Alex McConnell, who's a good shooter, but he could barely get on the floor. And you, like, I mean, you watch R.J. Barrett fling these shots up and you're like, dude, stop. Well, you're not helping your team.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of when we played Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and they had the Harrison twins, who were just disgusting basketball players, just jacking up all kinds of garbage.
But they were clutch, Brian.
Well, in the end, the guy hits the three at the end. But it's just like you watch these guys, and you're like, I understand that you're 6'6", and you can jump out of the gym, but I'm not touching you with a 30-foot pole in the NBA draft. And I kind of feel like that about Barrett too. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe he'll be better in a context where he's actually surrounded by shooters, but I just, the whole, like, way his game feels to me, it's just like, oh, gross.
Yeah, well, you saw the depth and shooting ability of Michigan State really show in that game. And narrow victory it may have been, but it was one that I didn't expect them to get. Right. And so it just adds even more to my belief that it is indeed the best coaching job that we've seen Izzo do. Speaking of coaching jobs, I think that Matt Painter absolutely made the right call, fouling up three. You know, there was some second guessing of that after the fact based on the result. I'm curious what you guys thought of the strategy or think of that strategy.
I'm usually a foul up three guy, and especially against a team like Virginia that has just some guys who can just light it up from downtown. I think that's the move. Like, if you're playing Duke, yeah, let him take a three. But, Kyle Guy is a 40-something percent?
46.
46% three-point shooter. They're close to tops in the country in percentage there. So, yeah, I put him on the line.
Yeah, and so he did, and they get a missed free throw that they weren't trying to miss.
You know, here,
unbelievable tip,
Ty Jerome,
an unbelievable pass, and then into the shot before the shot clock before the clock expires.
So Ty Jerome is probably one of the best shooters in the nation. I think he missed on purpose, man. He got it right off the front rim.
Every published report says he was trying to make that free throw.
I know that's what they all say.
Okay, still, point was, great strategy by Matt Painter. It just wound up on the unbelievably, short end of the stick in that particular instance. And so Virginia, who you say is the best team on paper, I
know they're the best team, period, right? I mean, I've watched at least 6-7 Virginia games. They are a very good team. They're the best team in this Final Four.
That guy's hair kind of bothers me, though.
Yeah, you're talking about the Cisco look?
Yeah. I was like, what are you doing, son?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like, good day. And maybe that's what it is. You see him, you just can't take him seriously.
Well,
like,
yeah. Dude. Well, you look at him, and then you're watching Virginia basketball, and you're just thinking, thong, 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 thong. And it's not. I don't
but
like
But then he spikes
this.
Your shot out of bounds, and you're like, all right, well, we got it.
I know the guys can play. It's just like... Got to do something about that.
I hear you. It is definitely distracting. Looking at the Michigan State Texas Tech matchup, which is more intriguing to me than the other. I expect Virginia to take care of Auburn, but this Texas Tech Michigan State matchup, their length and athleticism defensively, and you know their ability to collapse on anything. In the way of driving, anything on the interior. You talked about pushing guys that drive baseline. But Michigan State has three-point shooters. They have several guys, at least in the tournament, that they even had Xavier Tillman hit a three in the last game. I was like, man, and Michigan couldn't hit one? And Xavier Tillman is hitting a freaking three, you know, against Duke? And so my point in bringing that up is there are going to be some looks in this game. You got a guy in Cassius Winston that can make that skip pass that you were talking about. So the parts, the vulnerability defensively that Texas Tech does have or show, Michigan State seems like they are positioned well to exploit that.
You know, I think Texas Tech is 16th in the country in three-point percentage defense, and there's a school of thought that says that's luck, but they were also top 20 last year. So I kind of feel like there's a lot of bad rush shots against that defense because of just how they recover to skip passes. And while I think Michigan should have been able to hit one against Texas Tech, like I feel like they're, you know, if they had a real weakness from three, they wouldn't be the top defense in the country. Like, I just think everything that they're going to do is going to be hard. And Winston isn't appreciably bigger than Xavier Simpson. So when he's making those passes, they got to get over Tariq Owens. So the angles on those are going to be odd and probably a little bit high, and that gives people time to recover. So Beard's system is really strange, and I think it's going to be difficult. I mean, they've got more prep time than Michigan. Well, not Michigan, but they got more prep time than they would if it was the second game of the weekend. So I think they've got a better shot, but I know it's all going to be all about what Culver can do, because I think 1 point per possession probably wins this game.
Yeah, and he hasn't been terribly efficient in this tournament. I mean, you know, Michigan is a good defensive team, so that's to be expected, right? That they're going to be able, with Charles Matthews out there, you're going to be able to have some success against him. But they need, in order to win this game, I think they need a bigger game out of Jarrett Culver than we've seen him have here of late.
Well, you know, Matthews really locked him up. I think I saw a stat that all nine of his makes were against someone other than Matthews. So is McQuaid going to be able to do that? He's a little bit different kind of a guy. He's more of a guard than a wing, but he's been able to stay in front of people. And the problem is, like, okay, you put McQuaid on Culver, and then you have Moretti running around being a 46% three-point shooter. So it's going to be a tough question, and it's going to be a grind. And I think that three-pointer is actually worth 5 in this game instead of the 9 they were in the Michigan game. But, I'm not going to pick Michigan State. There's no way. There's, like, they could have Jaren Jackson back, and I'd be like, Texas Tech.
All right, folks, we got to get to a break. By the way, Rico says if Ward comes back, he'll start at 5 and Tillman at the 4.
I been saying? All I agree with Rico. You find a way to get both those guys on the floor.
Yeah, I agree. 35 minutes for Ward next year.
Hey, you got to love it. You want to see Nick Ward on the floor more, for sure. Anyway, we got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, the ticket. All right, so fellas, you look at the, getting back to Texas Tech, Michigan State, you know, the thing that I recall in watching the last couple of games against Michigan State for Michigan, they actually did a decent job against Cassius Winston. He came up big late. I think in one of those games he was 5-for-15 from the field, but he was clutch. He came up big plays late. So we've even seen Michigan limit him, but he was able to make those plays for the guys around him that really rose up, made some big key buckets for them down the stretch. So let's see. I said I think whoever wins Texas Tech, Michigan State wins the national championship, but we didn't get into who's going to win it all. Who do you see advancing to the championship game? Who do you see winning it all?
Texas Tech was my pick at the beginning, so I'm going to stick with Texas Tech.
Winning the whole damn thing.
Yeah, sure. Let's go for it.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Virginia should win this. I mean, numbers-wise, 47%, they should win this tournament, right? I mean, it would be a lot different if Duke and
Kentucky. That's not even a majority.
That's not even a majority.
What? a majority of the time they lose the tournament, so they shouldn't win the tournament. Nobody should win the tournament.
They should be like 47% chance.
Vacate.
I have Texas Tech, too.
Yeah!
Really?
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, the balance that they bring, outstanding defense. You have a go-to guy. You have three-point shooting. You have decent depth. I think they have all the pieces.
Man, that Moretti kid is like, yeah, I would take that kid on my team. I just, like, it's jarring when you used to see a guy and like, yep, that's going down again. Like, I loved that feeling where you just have a dude out there who, if he gets a shot, it's over.
Oh, they have Cassius Winston. I'm saying
for Michigan. They don't really have that, like, knockdown guy. I mean, Livers a little bit, but, like, Livers is a bench player. He's not getting up 300 threes over the course of the season.
All right, so
maybe next year.
Let's look ahead, guys. I've given you my thoughts on what the forecast looks like for Michigan if Iggy and JP come back and they're able to add some shooting. I think you're gonna have to go out and get a piece to make it tangibly
better. You're gonna have Livers probably move into the starting lineup, and then whoever is picking up Livers' minutes is probably gonna be a better shooter from three than Matthews, whether it's Johns or Nunez or Wilson. I think Wilson can be kind of a Zach Irvin as a bench shooter. I mean, he's 40% over his last two high school years on a ton of volume. So he's not going to be a guy that you rely on to create shots, but as a place where you spend shots, I think he might be a good option as a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, you've been talking about, like, next year as the year for this program, and I completely agree with you. I mean, you can see what they've done over this past year with Simpson and Teske back. Like, they can't drop out of the top five nationally in defense. And then, how do you become better on offense? So they're 20th this year.
Left-handed hook.
And we talked about...
Which he has in his arsenal, but...
You know, we talked about... Craig's often mentioned this is not a good shooting team, and I agree with that. It's not a good shooting team. But I think part of that was just the shot selection. I think there were a lot of tough shots that were taken. I mean, we can obviously talk about Jordan Poole, but other guys that took difficult three-point shots. I like John Teske and Xavier Simpson to take open threes, but I don't like them to take contested threes. And I just feel like if... ball movement would have been you saw a good ball movement from this team at times this year, but what you didn't see it against the best defenses when they needed it the most, and that's the piece that they're going to need to work on, because I think Poole and Brazdeikis are great shooters. If they come back and you can get them good looks, this all of a sudden looks like a really good shooting team.
Well, Michigan just didn't have a secondary creator this year, so you know, Z has a assist rate that's top 20 or whatever, and then Poole has a little bit, but Matthews isn't really creating. Brazdeikis isn't really creating. It's a lot of iso ball, which they're not good at.
Right.
They need to get Brazdeikis up to a double-digit assist rate. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Poole can develop into a guy who creates shots for other people. And I think that's because you have to check Poole out to NBA range. So I think if he's able to, you know, kind of settle down and make the passes, like, he's going to be able to be a guy who takes some pressure off of X.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Poole and Brazdeikis are good creators, but they're better creators against Rutgers than they are against Michigan State and the Texas Techs of the world. And, you know, things are harder against them. And they couldn't transition, and they couldn't find good shots against those best defenses, which is always hard.
You know, I think you raise a point that we've hit on all year, and it's valid and good. They did have shot selection issues at times, but... I do think that part of the shooting, the shooting woes relative to what we've seen from Beeline teams on this squad is part personnel related. I mean, there were open looks, and hopefully the shooting percentages for X and John Teske improve. You know, they're going to work on that in the offseason. Teams are going to continue to give them those looks, and maybe they can knock them down at a little bit higher clip. But we can't expect, you know, miracles there.
And so the difference between Mo and Teske was not just the rate at which they hit them, but the nature of those shots. So Mo could get it off whenever he wanted. Like that turnaround against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament where the shot clock's down and he's just like, yeah, I'll take this. And he hits that, and Teske's never hitting that shot. So Teske needs to be set and comfortable and launch it, and that's why you didn't see the wide open lanes you had all last year. So... is that something Teske can get to? Probably not. He's just a different player.
Yeah, maybe you get some of that from a more experienced, bigger, stronger Colin Castleton. Maybe you get some more from a from a Dave DeJulius, who I think we all agree was a really good shooter coming out of high school, and we've yet to see it translate in college. But you know, he has it in his repertoire. So maybe they get a little bit of a boost there. And I continue to say, you know, another piece that if you can add another piece from the outside, that is what can really put them over against what I think is going to be possibly a better Michigan State team next year.
Really?
You're losing Goins, you're losing McQuaid, but I like their young wings better. Even if you are going to start Nick Ward, which you know you got teams probably doing some jumping up and down about. You're going to be able to
Nick Ward's going to be in Slovakia next year.
Get some minutes out of their younger, longer guys. So you
could
got
he transfer?
Could he transfer? He could. I don't know what his situation is in that regard. But you got Kithier, who has some time under his belt now. The Bingham kid, who we watched out of Grand Rapids, we saw him be a lanky kid with some potential. Could shoot it for his size. I think he's going to be an intriguing guy for them. I think they're going to be a better because Cassius Winston's not going pro.
It's why just go. Go away.
He's not going pro, dude.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What do you think about his pro prospects?
So, I think that scouts are going to have to deviate from convention, and they are going to have to get away from looking at his sheer lack of athleticism. And I'm talking about lack of athleticism relative to other college athletes. I'm not talking about relative to us. Right. I'm talking about relative to other college guys. As you know, compared to NBA guys, he's not a good athlete.
Right.
But what he is the guy, he just wins. The guy just knows how to play.
Right.
And so can you find a scout, a team that will look past his deficiencies as an athlete and say, man, there's a space for a guy that just knows how to play the game at a high level?
Well, how did you project him out of high school? You knew he wasn't athletic.
That you're going to have to find a way to, first of all, you have to put him in ball screen all the time. Michigan State, their offense this year,
right,
and the reason for his increased defense, they've become ball screen. That is their offense.
Right.
They are a heavy ball screen team, so that's number one. That has led to his increased offensive efficiency. How can you hide him defensively? Last year, you tried to park him on a guy that's not going to drive him, and that might or might not work. But this year, they become this ball screen switching team, and it's like, okay, well, this is the way we can protect Cassius, especially against teams that can't take advantage of him in the post, like Michigan couldn't do.
Yes, I'm aware.
So you know, is in an NBA team, can you find a way to hide those deficiencies? Yes, you could put him in ball screen. There's no problem with that. You know, he's going to find other guys. The question will be defensively, what can you do to mitigate the issues there? That's going to be the big question for him. And that's why I think he's going to be back for another year. Big Ten, likely favorite for Big Ten Player of the Year again, and maybe even Naismith National Player of the Year, because he is an amazing college player. I don't know if the pros are going to say that translates to him being not just a good pro player, but just a pro player, period.
But I mean, you can imagine maybe as a backup point guard on a team, like
I could.
Leadership and smarts, and
I think he's a lottery pick. He's top five easy.
There's no way.
It's shut up. Just let it happen.
I mean, it'd be good for Michigan. But see, look, if they could just find a way to get just a little more efficient in the post, man.
Well, yeah, that's the offseason project.
Exactly.
I mean, this is Michigan should. They haven't done this one time in the Beilein era. They should post, and it's not going to be efficient. It's not going to be a great set. You know, John Tessie's going to start dribbling with his back to the basket, and we're going to see what happens. But just having that in your repertoire and being able to get to it is something where, you know, it's not just Michigan State who's doing all the switching. Like, everybody is mm-hmm. doing this. So this is where the metagame of college basketball is going to. So you need to be able to feed the post, which is, kind of going back to the 70s, but this is now a critical thing to be able to do. So I think that's going to be a major offseason focus. You get a switch, you switch the point of attack, and then you dump it down.
Yeah. And Beilein is he said as much in his post game presser, like, this, you look at how teams everywhere are doing this, we got to work on the post. He said, now, we aren't going to go to it if guys don't show that they want the basketball. He said, you guys got to demand. John Teske has to demand the basketball. These are John Beilein's words. John Teske has to demand the basketball. Right. And then when you get the basketball down there, show you're comfortable with it. Show you can do something with it. That means they got to work on it in the offseason.
Well, I mean, Teske, when he did get the ball down low against the mismatch, was, I think, he had the one kind of fake travel against Michigan State. I think he made all his other buckets. So, like, I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is just knowing that this is what we need to attack and this is how we're going to do it. And it's not really – I don't think it's really on Simpson, because he's going to get a big switch on him. He's going to have a 6'8 to 6'10 guy with long arms that's tough to get around. So what do? You got to shoot it back around the horn to Poole or Iggy and have them make the entry.
Well, and they're these big man camps, right? Doesn't Elijah Wan do these, like, we got to send Teske down south.
That just works on his part of it. It doesn't work on the post-entry part of it.
Yeah, I don't think Teske's the problem.
Well, I do think that there's room there. Beilein specifically called out, hey, he has to, establish good post position, demand the ball. Show me you want the ball.
Well, so, does Michigan do this in practice? Like, is he used to doing this? No, he's not. Because Michigan has not posted in the John Beilein era, I think almost literally. Like, can you remember, like, the last straight post-up possession?
Mo got some post-ups every once in a while last season.
Mo got some. Mo did get some post-ups.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
He got some. He got more than in the Jordan Morgan era.
He put up some Dirk shots. He definitely played in the post.
No,
two or three times.
He was in the high post a little bit where he could pass or shoot or drive. He was not in the low post. I mean, that's the whole reason that Painter started switching, even though he had Isaac Haas, is because Michigan just knew that Mo Wagner was not going to post. You guys are.
He got a few posts.
No,
Brian.
No, not
one. Right. Data on this. Go look up the go look up the synergy data, Brian.
Nah, it's not like it was a staple, but he got a few.
McGarry had some posts back in the day when they were on the McGarry.
A few.
No.
A few.
No, McGarry. No. they literally do not post, and that's fine because that's one of the least efficient things you can do in basketball in general. And Michigan hasn't had the guys that defy that. So it's been a good system, and it's just that now people are catching up to it. So you got to go back.
All right. 734-998-250. I assume we got our winner.
Yes, we do. Mike is going to come up here, pick up his tickets, and then head on down to opening day.
Congratulations, Mike. And how quickly did he have to Google it?
I'm assuming he was instant, because as soon as you finished and the delay obviously has to allow the call to come in, it was an instant call. I go, how many strikeouts? And it's 23. Boom. How to win.
There you go. That guy watches the Tigers. 734-998-250.
I was listening to you early in the morning.
734-998-250. Tweet us at Michigan Insider. Email us at studio@wtk.com. Got to get to a break. Come back on the other side. We're going to close things out. We'll go to the phones, talk to John Morant's, long lost cousin, Eric in South Carolina. He hates you.
You haven't let him look good. You haven't let him look that
no,
down.
No,
good.
Not at all. He cost Michigan John Morant. Eric in South Carolina cost Michigan John Morant. He would be a Wolverine if Eric in South Carolina was on his job.
Does that mean he can help us get Jordan Morant?
We got to get to a break. Jordan. Back on the other side here of the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside the MDN studios. They say it takes a village to raise a child. It used to be it takes an entire alumni network. Fan network when it comes to recruiting.
My dad's friend used to recruit Northern Virginia football back in the 70s.
Our friend Woody used to be a part of that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yep.
Fritz Seifert used to head up the whole campaign here in Ann Arbor where, people, if they saw a prospect in their area, they would let Michigan know. That's how it used to work. Now, they've since clamped down on it where schools can't solicit that kind of thing. But if you happen to be a supporter of a certain university and you see an amazing player, you can get on the computer, email a coach, email a program, get on Twitter. You can do the same thing and say,
tell Sam.
I see this. There's just this amazing guy right around the corner from me. I know his whole family. He's going to be a fantastic player and no one knows about him. That's a very easy call to make. Isn't that right, Eric in South Carolina?
Sam, I keep trying to tell you, nobody wanted Ja Morant. Nobody wanted
him. How did no one want this kid? I mean, he didn't just all.
You know how Murray State got on Ja Morant?
They got on first.
They came to look at another kid that they were recruiting. They seen Ja Morant playing 303 on the other court with somebody else, and the coach looked over there and said, "Who is that kid?" And he went over there and talked to Ja. How Murray State got on him.
How old was he?
But Eric, right? Because you knew about Ja Morant, right?
I tell you what, you know the kid I've been emailing you about, Sam? When that kid was a junior, we went to the Pepsi Classic, and my kid scored 40, and we was all excited. He was the only kid that had scored 40 in so many years in a Pepsi Classic. Well, the game after that, another kid was playing in that game to score 48. That kid was Ja Morant. in the Pepsi Classic. So, nobody wanted him. South Carolina got in on him late, and basically he said because Murray State wanted him when nobody else wanted him, that's how he ended up at Murray State. But the kid I was telling you about, he's going to start his freshman year. He told him, all B-Line got to do is give him a call, and he'll be on his way.
What's his name, Eric?
His name is Tyree Epps. He's going to sit out this season to focus on academics because he's actually trying to – and actually, I talked to a coach from Maryland that's asking me about him. But he's going to focus on his academics this year because he want to get his academics in order because he's waiting on one of these big schools to call him. And I told you, he's Zion Williamson's cousin. So he got good gene pool, but he's a point guard. And he's him and Zion finished first and second in scoring in the state last season. He averaged 28 points a game. He's a 6-foot point guard, 180-pound lockdown defender, lights out three. Matter of fact, he outscored Zion in the playoff game they played against each other. But Zion set out like half of the fourth quarter. But he was a guy. He played with nobody. Like he was basically the team, and he carried them all the way to the state semifinals. That team had never won more than 8 games before he got there. He got them to the game before the championship, and so he carried that team. So whenever y'all want to look at him, he got film out. He played for Kings Academy last season, and then the season before that, he played for Lake City Panthers. So just he got film on him. He's an excellent kid. He's an excellent player. So I'm telling you, nobody's on him.
Okay.
When he blew up this season coming up, people gonna want him. And Xavier be a senior, and Julius will be a junior. And he can come and sit on the bench or compete for a starting job. He'll be ready. Because I'll tell you, he's better than everybody we got on the bench. No disrespect to the point guard we got on the team right now, but he's a great three-point shooter, and he's an awesome kid, great player. Everybody, even Zion was telling, man, you gave us all we can handle. You know, we just figured out we had to stop you, and then we can get the team. So he's a great player.
Okay.
I was calling in because, Brian, remember you had to talk about about 2012, 2013, and me and you, I don't know if you're still on board with me, but I was saying about, you know, in order for Michigan to take their game to the next level, we're going to have to get us an athletic guy. We was kind of joking around about we need a guy from Senegal or Cameroon to just erase shots when people come in there and beat our guys off the dribble. I still think we need more athleticism on this team. I think Sanderson does a great job getting our guys athletic, but there's nothing like a guy coming in who's already athletic that can play ball. And teams got the blueprint on Teske. If you got an athletic big that can just run to the basket and outquick him, all you got to do is throw it up and it's a dunk. So we have to get more athletic on this team some kind of way. And I think if we can do that, I think we can take that step to the next level. But we don't have any guys on this team that can beat athletic guys off the dribble, not one guy. So when you got that, you basically know you don't have to worry about nobody going by you, and teams can cheat on us when they're on defense. And we're just going to have to get more athletic, and we need some better shooters. We got good shooters on the team, but we need that guy that just come off the bench like what's the boy name that played at William & Mary or whatever that's with the Heat now. We need a guy that come off that bench that can
knock down.
That's it. But if we don't have no guy that can break nobody off,
okay.
if we don't have nobody that can break nobody off the dribble, break nobody down off the dribble, you don't even have to worry about that guy because you don't have to worry about cheating off of him or nothing like that. Like, we just got to get more athletic. And I think once we do that, I think we'll take that step to the next level.
Well, we would be more athletic if we had Ja.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I didn't attribute the rim runs to, you know, John Teske's lack of athleticism. I mean, you know, they got caught in some, some ball screen. Scenarios.
What exactly?
He was talking about some of the lobs that Michigan gave up.
I remember the Bruno Fernando ones, but they were like,
there was one in the Texas Tech game.
Oh yeah, that happens to everybody, right? From time to time. I mean, Teske led the league in block shots. Like, I think he's kind of close to the let's just get Taco Fall on the team principle. Like, I think he's an excellent defensive center. And, you know, he's talking about athleticism, but the problem about going and recruiting guys who are better athletes than Michigan and can also play hoops is that, I mean, Michigan's not using the bag, and people want to get paid. So.
Right, and shooting. You talk about lanes being closed down, shooting. You get some more shooting. And I'm not against having more athleticism on the team, trust me. I mean, we've seen some amazing athletes. Glenn Robinson III, Charles Matthews is an outstanding athlete.
You know, his point about not having anybody who can go one-on-one is good. Because last year, Michigan had a bailout option in Marr, and that, you know, just didn't happen this year. Their late clock options were pretty weak, except for Xavier Simpson coming in, like, shooting a hook.
Another thing they're going to work on in the offseason. And they got guys on the roster that can be better ISO guys. Iggy can be, and I think JP can be.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out. We are out of time, folks. Great the segment as always. Sorry we didn't bring you Craig Ross.
Better than us!
No!